Well, last December, the United Nations decided to formally address for the first time the issue of lethal autonomous weapons. They're basically killer robots to you and me. 89 member nations of the International Convention on Conventional Weapons voted in Geneva to form a group of experts to look at this developing form of weapon, one that can select and kill targets with no input from a human. Now, the group is due to meet this year to discuss the challenges presented by such weapon systems, and ultimately it could lead to a preemptive ban. Although no such weapons exist, at least beyond prototypes, many countries are deeply concerned that they will be developed in the near future. In 2015, the issue of killer robots, well, that was brought to the fore in an open letter signed by thousands of the world's leading experts on artificial intelligence, which called for a ban on killer robots. One of those responsible for the letter was Professor Toby Walsh. He's Professor of Artificial Intelligence from the University of New South Wales. Now, Toby has been speaking in Canberra this week, speaking at two forums focused on public policy responses to future challenges facing Australia and the world. He also has a new paper which looks at the differences between expert and non-expert opinion when it comes to fears about the impact of automation on employment. Toby joins me now to discuss the findings of that research. Toby, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's start with these killer robots, the much scarier issue. It's been 2 years since the open letter. How much progress has been made in the field of AI by militaries since then?
Well, in that letter, we warned that there would be an arms race, and you can already see the beginnings of that arms race. There are plenty of YouTube videos showing prototypes that have been released since that letter went to air. In almost every theatre of war, in the air, there are autonomous drones now. On the sea, the US Navy released its first autonomous ship. On the land, the Russians have an autonomous MK-25 tank. And under the sea, Boeing have a completely autonomous submarine.
That's extraordinary. Well, because of the letter, you've spoken at the United Nations three times, is that right?
That's right.
And you recently said that when it comes to starting formal discussions on AI in the military, Russia is very aggressive and it's the only country not to agree, is that right?
Russia was the last country to abstain. They really held out to the last moment, the last hour of the last day of the talks. And then there was a lot of pressure on them. But Russia is the bad boy these days, not just in this sphere, but also in Syria and elsewhere.
Yeah, what does that suggest to you, though, Russia's role here?
Russia is flexing its muscles. It also has a very significant arms interest itself. They are believed to have millions of dollars of arms orders for semi-autonomous weapons on their books already.
What kinds of AI technologies are militaries around the world playing with at the moment? I mean, can you give us some examples?
There are some beginnings of examples there. If you go to the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea,
DMZ.
There is an autonomous Sentry robot built by Samsung, the nice people who build your smartphone. They also build weapons, and they have a completely autonomous Sentry robot. It uses computer vision, it uses radar to spot anyone who might step into the demilitarized zone and will kill them with deadly accuracy with a machine gun from 4 kilometers away. That's one of the scariest. At the moment, we don't have anything really that's fully autonomous. The drones that fly above the skies of Iraq and Iran, they're still semi-autonomous. There's still a human in the loop. There's someone who actually makes that final life or death decision. But it's a small technical step to remove that human. And in fact, the UK's Ministry of Defence said they could do that today.
Well, let's look at the issue we're talking about here today, AI-led unemployment and the difference between expert and non-expert opinion. Now, you recently conducted a survey on this issue. What exactly were you trying to get at?
I was trying to address this fear that is in a lot of public debate these days about automation, the fact that many jobs might be replaced by machines. And certainly there will be some jobs being replaced in the next decade or two by machines. That looks pretty certain. If you're a taxi driver or a truck driver, autonomous cars are going to come along and it's going to be much cheaper not to have you in the cab. That's going to be great for the public. The price of taxis is going to fall. Mm. It's going to be as cheap to get a taxi as to get a bus. It's going to be great for us. The cost of transportation of goods is going to fall significantly. But if you're one of those drivers, you have to start thinking, well, what other skill do you have if driving is not something that people are willing to be paid for?
Yeah,
I think the public is a little more concerned about this issue than the experts. The experts realize that there are still some significant technical obstacles, even for autonomous cars, before we will get to full autonomy. So it may take 50 years before machines are as good as humans in many tasks, whereas the public thinks it may take only 20 or 30 years. I think this is one thing as a society we have to start thinking about. How are we going to prepare people for the change? One of the big answers, I think, is education. And education has to be a lifelong issue. You can't stop educating yourself, reskinning yourself, because otherwise the machines will catch up.
I remember last year's federal election, Malcolm Turnbull kept talking about innovation, how innovation was a great thing. And I think for a lot of working class folks who have been losers of automation, innovation is a term that says, no, I'm going to lose my job.
It's a double-edged sword, but we have to compete because we're competing on the world stage these days.
Yeah.
If we don't do it, all the other countries will, and we won't be able to compete. So we have to keep going forwards. There's always choices to be made, though. If you're a CEO of a company and you bring in some automation, well, you get a choice. You can either use that to put people out of work, or you can say, well, wait, let's reskill those people. Give those people new skills. Let them focus on my more strategic issues. Let them focus on talking to the customer, understanding the customer. Let those people focus on improving the product or the service and lifting the service or product you give to people, as opposed to a race to the bottom in price. Mm. And we in Australia are never going to win that race to the bottom. Many of our cheaper neighbours are going to win. So we should be looking to try and lift our game, not just to try and make things cheaper.
Sorry for labouring the point here, because I find this a fascinating subject when you look at the plight of a lot of Western democracies. I mean, the challenge with technology, it's always how to stop disruption, isn't it? And will AI technology here be vulnerable to hacking, for example?
It will be. There'll be a big industry. There'll be lots of jobs actually making the AI secure. There'll be lots of jobs in cybersecurity preventing that. There's going to be a big business in that. But you have to remember this, that the last 50 years of progress, the fact that we live better lives than our grandparents is due to technological change. It has improved our lives. It is disruptive. We do have to make changes, and this will be another revolution. The AI revolution will be like the Industrial Revolution.
This is Sunday Extra on RN. Tom Switzer here, and my guest is Toby Walsh. He's Professor of Artificial Intelligence at the University of New South Wales. Toby, why does the public have far higher expectations when it comes to which jobs are at the risk of automation and the time it will take for these jobs to be fully automated?
Well, I think Hollywood has a little to answer. Most of the movies you see about AI are very dystopian. It's hard to pick a good AI movie, really, that is either realistic and doesn't actually tell a very dystopian tale. I think my favorite AI movie is Her, because actually that tells a story about how we're going to have increasingly relationships with these machines. We spend more and more time talking, conversing to these machines. And the operating system of the future, that's going to be artificial intelligence. Everywhere you go, you'll be talking to the room, talking to your car, talking to any object that's in your life, and it will follow you around, know all your preferences, and hopefully that will be a good thing.
Well, clearly there are large sections of the public who are deeply concerned about job losses due to automation, as we've discussed. What should be done to explain to these people the true rate of progress of AI and the likely timeline of them being replaced by a robot?
Well, we don't know. The future is very uncertain. You have to remember that not only are jobs destroyed, but every technology creates new jobs that some of which we can't even think about today because we haven't invented the technologies that go with those new jobs. Mm. But we have no idea really if as many jobs will be created as destroyed.
What about this then? How do governments prepare for automation changes when they don't know what the timeline is?
It's a really challenging problem. I think one thing is absolutely certain. We know that there will be jobs that will be destroyed and there will be new jobs created, and those new jobs will invariably require different skills to the jobs that were destroyed. We know that change is coming. Mm. It's very hard to predict how quickly. It's very hard to predict whether more jobs get created.
What do you reckon the number one thing governments can do now to ease the transition?
I think education is the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think then we need to start having a debate about some of the more longer term things. People talk about universal basic income. People talk about negative tax rates, other transformations to our welfare system. You have to remember the last time this happened, the Industrial Revolution, we made some really big changes to our society. We introduced universal education, so people were educated for the new jobs in factories and offices. We introduced the welfare system so that if you'd lost your job, you weren't in the poorhouse.
Well, here's a controversial question. I mean, to what extent will education become a place where automation takes over? That is, could we have automated teachers?
That's a really great question. We could. I mean, that's one of the promises of AI. We'll get not only automated teachers, goodness, but very personalized teaching. A program that knows everything about you, knows that everything you learned and everything that you don't know, that can focus the learning onto the way that you learn.
Finally, are there jobs that humans will always prefer other humans to do? I mean, are psychologists, for example, going to be replaced by a robot?
So there is a robot psychologist, and in fact, to deal with Syrian refugees, that it's actually being used in Germany today. But
yeah,
I think
right,
given a choice, most people will prefer to deal with a person. And there'll be just some jobs where we prefer the social contact, and we just decide we will pay more to have people do those jobs.
Well, how do those psychologists work with people?
Robot psychologist.
Yeah, the robot psychologist.
They just sit in front of a computer and it helps them deal with the trauma because of the wars that have been and the terrifying experience that they had that drove them to be refugees.
Toby, this has been a fantastic discussion. I've learned a lot. And it's a reminder that change is inevitable. It can be hard. It can be a complicated process, but it's inevitable. And all things considered, it's probably a good thing.
Yes, even when they automate presenters.
Toby, thanks so much for being on Sunday Extra.
My pleasure.
That was Toby Walsh. He's Professor of Artificial Intelligence at the University of New South Wales and CSIRO's Technology Unit Data 61. And Toby has a new book out next month. It's aimed at informing the public about many of the issues around AI. It's titled It's Alive: Artificial Intelligence from the Logic Piano to the Killer Robot. That's published by Black Ink.